Hey gang, did you know that our theme song is a real song called Needle Hits a Groove by a real band called Sheboygan on a real album called Triple Fantasy? Well, it is. You can buy the vinyl album at cdbaby.com or at Waterloo Records in Austin, Texas. The LPs come with a download card so you can download the album digitally as well. That's Sheboygan, Triple Fantasy, available on LP or digital download at cdbaby.com. Leave a comment that you heard it on How Did I Get Here, and we'll give you a shout out on the show. All right? It's a great album. I suggest you get it. Get to cdbaby.com. Triple Fantasy, Sheboygan. Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here?
Hello, I'm Johnny. I am your host. Welcome to the show. Thank you for listening. I know it's a choice that you make, and this choice is not lost on me, so I am grateful to you, the listener, and I have a great show for you today. In return, I have a great show for you today. My guest is DJ, Digger, Party Starter, member of Body Rock ATX, and Peligrosa. His name is DJ Chorizo Funk. He is an amazing DJ, and he just won a Best of Austin Critics' Choice, Best Place to Get Your Body Rocked. is with him. He mixes all kinds of genres. That's what he's known for. He's not like an electronic guy. He's a guy that does like Afro-Latin, Afro-beat, funk, soul, hip-hop, new jack, all kinds of stuff. He's mixing it up, and it's great. I mean, he really brings a party. So he's my guest, DJ Chorizo Funk. He has a real name, which he told me at the door. I never used it in the interview, and I don't think I should tell anyone. Because I think he should just be known as that, DJ Chorizo Funk. If you have a cool name, then you should expose that name. All right, so before we get to this conversation, I've got some business to get to with you guys. I'm doing well. Thank you for asking or thinking about me. I wanted to let you know, if you listen to episode 201, I talked about a trial that was going to be redone for my mom's murder. When I was a teenager, they found the guy. They convicted him a few years ago, in case you don't know, and now he's gotten an appeal. They're going to redo the trial, but I have to wait like 6 months or something before I know what's going on. So I have to live in a world of anxiety and dread for that long. But you know, I got music to get me through. I'm playing a lot. I'm playing this weekend with Skyrocket, a couple of private events. Good to get back into the private events. I think we've been playing a lot of public events, maybe too many, and it's good to step back. Of course, we'll be at the House of Blues next Friday, September 27th, 2013, if you're listening to this when it comes out. Also, if you're listening to this when it comes out, I've got a very special show. Very special day is coming up. Tuesday, September 24th, is Ham Day in Austin. Now, if you don't know what Ham is, if you're not from Austin, that's the Health Alliance for Austin Musicians. Yeah, they provide affordable health care for the uninsured. Okay, so it's kind of like an insurance thing for musicians. So all day long on September 24th, Tuesday, from the very early morning to the late at night is just music all day, places. You can go and see music at Whole Foods at 7 a.m. You can go see music at night at all the clubs. A lot of the restaurants are donating a percentage of the money they make that day to Ham. So it's a great day to get out and do some stuff any time of the day. It's the only time you can really go see music at 6 in the morning. I did it last year. I cannot this year because I'm playing in Houston on Monday night. I will be spending the night there, so I'll be back. But I am playing a show Tuesday, September 24th at Maria's Tacos. It's the Proper Nang Ham Day special concert put on by William Harris Graham. And that is at Maria's Tacos, 5 p.m. to 9 p.m., the Jitterbug Vipers, Shoulders, Grace London, the Wild Seeds, me. I'm closing out the night, doing a solo acoustic set, a few songs there at the end. So come on out, support Ham, go out anywhere. I prefer that you come see me, but if you don't, go see someone else at a different place and make sure you spend some money in Austin if you're here. If you're not, go to myham.com or myham.org or look up Ham, H-A-A-M, and donate some money. Speaking of donating, we have added a donate button on our Facebook, on our How Did I Get Here Podbean page. So go over there to the right, scroll down. If you want to donate to this podcast, make it make us liquid, make us a cash endeavor, donate some money there. You can donate however much you want, $1, $10, $5 million, whatever you like. All right, let's talk to this guy, DJ Chorizo Funk. He's a great guy. We had a great conversation. He's very, very chill guy, and I got to ask a lot of questions, and so let's do it. Let's talk to him. Here's DJ Chorizo Funk. Let's get down. So, how much music do you have? Do you have physical vinyl records or what?
Yeah,
you do.
Yeah, I have a lot. Probably a couple thousand records. Yeah.
How much do you buy? Is it like a thing?
Yeah, it is. I mean, now, you know, I've kind of gone through phases when it comes to vinyl, like what I was into, and you know, it always changes.
Right.
Right now, mostly what I buy is 45s. So most of them are used.
Oh, okay.
So that makes
it. Do
they
make 45s anymore?
Yeah. Yeah, there's actually a big resurgence on all vinyl, but right. Definitely 45s, because I mean, if you know, there's a lot of bands and producers and artists, you know, independent folks that are just like, if they want to have it on a physical medium, 45 is, you know, the cheapest way as opposed to an LP.
Right.
So there's a lot of stuff. But yeah, right now it's been mostly like 45s is the main thing I'm into.
What about, like, I saw that I've listened to some of this whole cumbia set that you did.
Yes.
And like, when you find that stuff, is that mostly vinyl, or
it's a mix.
Mix?
It's a mix.
Where do you find your other stuff?
You know, it's the internet's an amazing place. Yeah. There's so much. I mean, it's hard to fathom like how much music is available online. And yeah, I get a lot from there. A lot of it too, like a lot of the cumbia one, like the most recent one, the return of the cumbia one.
Yeah,
like 90% of that was from records that I just digitized on my own.
Okay.
So that's from my own, you know, records.
So do you do that? You go and you import the vinyl thing into your.
Yeah, I make a, you know, digital copy of it to have, for sure.
Wow.
Yeah.
DJ Chorizo Funk, the Critics' Choice, Best of Austin 2013.
Yep.
Yeah, what's going on? That's
I'm
amazing.
Here. I'm good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay, so for instance, last night, okay, so when you set up, what's your setup like? Do you have turntables and those quasi-fake turntables that you can kind of like get things
yeah,
going
like
with?
Yeah, like the MIDI controller, CDJs. No, I do not use those. I do not know how to use those at all. I use Technique 1200s, which is like the gold standard since the 70s of turntables. I actually still have my first pair. I've only had one pair in my life, and they still work great. And then I have a mixer, and I do use a computer system that basically reads the signal from the turntable. So you plug the turntables into this like hardware box, you plug that into a computer, and so then you use the turntables to manipulate MP3s off of the computer. So the main thing that's just kind of like, you know, okay. So and there's like a special, like, you know, tone, a special control record that has like a basically like a tone, and the pitch of the tone basically communicates to the computer at what speed to play the MP3.
Wow.
Off of the turntable.
Okay.
And so I'm using turntables and a mixer to control, you know, the sound and, you know, the tempo and how I mix things and, you know, tricks or whatever. But it's all based on the turntables.
What kind of tricks?
You know, like, in terms of like mixing, in terms of like, you know, speeding something up. And, you know, you know, like a lot of the older music, it's not quantized, so the tempos are all different.
Yeah.
Whenever I mix that, I'm going by ear, so I'm speeding up the turntable when I'm listening to the other song that's playing, you know, to do
so
that.
So you're still doing it like you're working on vinyl?
Yes.
It's not like you can, like when you do these sets, like in a body rock set, are you feeling it from song to song?
Yeah.
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 You don't,
yeah,
I mean, there's no kind of premeditated thing.
No.
You kind of know where you're going to start.
Not really.
No?
Sometimes I do. Sometimes, you know, I might go into a night and have, you know, five songs that I'm like, there's something about those that kind of, you know, really catch my ear. And I'm like, I want to get this in here somehow, some way. But, you know, that's like 15 minutes out of 4 hours, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's just all like, you know, feel, experience, you know, and, you know, I mean, who's in the crowd, who's dancing. Sometimes if there's like a lot of ladies dancing, you know, in my mind, that means something differently than if, you know, there's like a big circle of people like dancing. And, you know, just all those little things all kind of dictate, you know, where I'm going to go.
Wow. So when the ladies are out there, are you don't change a thing, or do you?
Well, I mean, you know, like there's so many different stuff. I mean, right. You know, you can do like, you know, just on their energy, it could be something with a really kind of heavy, like percussive breakdown, where it could be kind of like, you know, like a big Soul Train, like dance circle kind of vibe. And they're already into it. So they're definitely going to take it, you know, they're going to be receptive to it and do something with that. Because a lot of the times they can just be like, I can, you know, present something to to the crowd and let them, you know, take it somewhere. And then I see what they do, and then I can take it somewhere else too.
Right. It's almost like in a sports analogy, you're like a quarterback and you're reading the defense and kind of calling audibles as you go and kind of feeling the crowd and feeling the set itself.
Definitely.
That's an amazing art in itself.
Yeah.
And I've always respected it. Is it weird to be in a town that's so like rock and roll driven, or do you even, I've never met you.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm in rock bands and shit, but I've never, we've never crossed paths.
Yeah.
That I know.
Nah, not really. I mean, you know, I'm fortunate, man. I've gotten a great response here in Austin, and, you know, I stay, you know, plenty busy, and I get to, you know, pretty much every event that I play, it's not something that I'm annoyed, where it's like people are requesting annoying music or just acting, you know, like being disrespectful. Because a lot, that's one of the things is, you know, right now is it this happens a lot, is, you know, people don't really respect a lot of DJs. And so a lot of times you get people, you know, just thinking that the DJ is a jukebox and kind of, you know, always telling them something, not letting them, you know, do their job or whatever. And me, in my situation, that's not really the case. You know, I've had numerous bands, you know, reach out to me and have me as part of their lineup.
Yeah.
You know, because it is a different kind of, you know, it's a different vibe. It's a different thing that I do than they do. And they appreciate it, and they wanted me to, you know, sometimes it can be a CD release party, and, you know, they'll have me do a set, you know, at some part of the night or whatever. So, you know, it hasn't been a problem for me at all. And sometimes a lot of those, you know, kind of events, like playing with bands, it's, you know, it's a nice change, because, you know, I kind of fit into, you know, a 4 or 5 hour block of time, like just one piece, you know, and that's always a nice change.
I saw that you have you had some opening sets up there too.
Yeah,
opening for other DJs.
Right.
Do you do that a lot? And those are shorter sets, probably, right?
Yeah, those are shorter sets, and most of those are usually like, you know, out of town talent that, you know, might be on a tour, or they get booked by, you know, a promoter here in town. And yeah, those are a lot of fun. Those are
always
great.
How does that work? Because it really is big business now. I mean,
There is, I mean,
places being built specifically for the DJ,
right?
You know, like they used to for the musicians,
right? Well, you know, the thing is, you know, like, you know, I've definitely been fortunate, and, you know, things are going well, but there is kind of this explosion with DJing. I mean, people are very fascinated by it. It's, you know, everywhere, in terms of, you know, now with the computer technology, anyone can really kind of, you know, try things out, you know, and a lot of the computer technology can do a lot of the things for you.
Yeah.
And, you know, the whole EDM, electronic dance music explosion, like in Vegas and everywhere, you know, like it's totally blowing up. And that's like big, big, big money right there.
Yeah. Where do you fit in?
I'm like not even in that realm. Like, one, with the music I play, it doesn't fit into any of that. And
there's no doop, 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 doop.
Yeah. And I don't fit into any of that. So that hasn't really like nothing to do with me. I'm kind of, I guess, more amongst the underground of, you know, DJs and I guess purist in a way. Purist in the sense that, you know, we take DJing like as an art, and it's not just something that the computer's going to do for us.
Yeah.
And music lovers, you know what I mean? And like all those folks. So it's definitely not like on that scale of, you know, like 5,000, you know, person arenas with, you know, $100,000 light shows and crazy stuff like in Vegas.
Yeah. Yeah. That's where they're building the place, right?
Yeah,
the
yeah, they
room or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure which one you're talking somewhere. About, but I'm sure that they're doing that.
Yeah. But you traveled too. I mean, they yeah. you just went up to New York. I right. saw this summer.
Yeah, and Chicago as well. Yeah.
And what? How does that work out?
You know,
they
part
hear
of that
about
is,
you, and they're like, "Oh, this guy brings a good jam."
Well the Chicago one was a festival out there, and they contacted one. So one of the groups or the crews that I'm in. Barry Rock ATX is one of them.
Yes.
And then Peligrosa is another one. Uh-huh. And Peligrosa has been around for over 5 years, and I just recently joined them within the last year. And they got, and they, in Chicago, there's a festival called Unisono, and okay. they contacted Peligrosa for us to play there. And so that was through a festival. They contacted, you know, the crew.
What is that crew?
It's basically...
What makes up this crew?
It is, in the simplest way, it's a Latin dance party that's been going on for 5 years.
Okay.
There's 10 of us, 7 are DJs. We kind of represent the best of Texas in terms of that are into the Latin sound, which is a throwback to, you know, the older music, whether it's salsa or cumbia or other Afro-Latin styles of music. And a new wave too. Like there's a lot of calling, like new production. Some are calling it new cumbia, new electro Latin kind of stuff, where you take some of the older elements and remix it, or you know even play it, you know, live, and you know have a new band playing, you know, these, you know, traditional rhythms and mixing it with a lot of different things.
Right.
And so it's a group of us, and we do a party here in Austin on third Fridays of the month. And so that's what the crew is, Peligrosa.
So there's 7 DJs.
Yes.
Obviously not all going at once.
No. So at the most, there's 3 at once.
Okay. So you're jamming, kind of like yeah. trading songs. Mm-hmm. Like someone's like, oh, I got this thing.
Yeah. And everybody kind of has like their different specialty, you know, like, you know, someone might be more into a lot of the new electronic kind of like Latin, you know, style of music, and you know someone else might be more into, like, you know, there's one guy that kind of like has a niche of kind of like the Brazilian kind of sound, and so it's just all, you know, we just all kind of vibe off of each other.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I'd yeah like, and we actually have there's a documentary, Arts in Context documentary, that just came out in the summer about us.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And so yeah, and then it's on my website too, and okay. I can, you know,
djchorizofunk.com.
yes.
Yeah. Okay, so you guys got invited to go up and do that,
right?
And obviously, did you do other sets? Like, you do the festival, and did you do like late night stuff?
Yeah, I did.
Together, or did you solo? Or
yeah, well, there was an after party plan, but for the festival, but that actually got shut down by Chicago PD. So
what's up? See,
yeah, I know,
that's good. I mean, that's some sort of triumph involved in that.
You know,
freaking but, someone out.
But then I did play another set while I was there that was not related to the festival. But yeah, I mean, in terms of like some of the you were asking about the different gigs and stuff. I mean, there's definitely is a network of DJs in different cities. You know, we, you know, kind of all, you know, keep tabs with each other or know a mutual friend, and whenever, you know, like, whenever I'm going to go to Chicago, there's folks that I reach out to and let them know that, you know, probably do some of the similar things that I do here, but just in another city.
Right.
And so, you know, we'll be in contact with each other.
Do you get to open for any big people?
Let's see. Well, like, recently,
different people from out of town or something.
Recently, I was, I did the Up in Smoke tour that was here at the ACL Movie Theater. So that was War, Tower of Power, and Cheech and Chong.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was
and
that was fun.
You did that?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. What? So yeah. What, did you close out the night?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, keep people hanging around and, you know, partying and having a good time.
Yeah.
And then, you know, do a 45-minute set or so. And
you
know,
you get to meet Cheech and Chong?
I didn't get to meet him.
Oh, that's too bad. Yeah. I met Tommy Chong one time in the radio station. I went to the bathroom and I was warming up to go on, and I didn't realize he was going to be the guest before me.
Uh-huh.
when I walked back into the little backstage room, I heard someone playing my guitar, and I was like, oh God, he's playing my guitar. And I opened up the door, and it was him, and he was like, is this a Martin, man? And I was like, wow. It was Tommy Chong.
Awesome.
I guess he was like on tour right after he got out of prison or something.
Yeah, for the bongs and everything, yeah. The paraphernalia. Yeah. It's funny, he's really smart in terms of his business savvy. So they're on tour, and then he had like, they were selling bongs and all that stuff, like right there, like along with t-shirts.
Right.
Yeah. Like they were banking.
Yeah. Yeah. I bet they were.
Yeah.
I guess that's I mean, there's people that are like, I bought the Tommy Chong bong after the show. That's ridiculous. Okay. So tell me about record breaking music. I was reading a little bit about that. That's guys from Chicago.
Yes. It's a new soul label, and I say new soul in terms of like the genre of music.
I like your throwback. You had, I can't remember which one it was, but it was a song that I hadn't heard like since I was a kid. It was great, and it was definitely like 79, 80, 81 kind of like soul time, where it was like so smooth.
Nice.
And like super good. Anyway, sorry. You have a good, I like your ear.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thank you. So Record Breaking is a soul, a new soul label out of Philadelphia. And I had met them. You know, one of the great things about being in Austin is so many people come for South by Southwest.
Right.
And I met the head of the label. His name is DJ Junior. I met him while he was here for South by, and, you know, we have very similar taste in music. And, you know, one of the things when I did that, I wanted to kind of, there's been, you know, there's been a lot of discussion about how, you know, soul music or R&B is not, you know, where it was, and you know, just talking about the quality has gone down. And what I heard in a lot of that music was, you know, new soul music that kind of has that feeling. And so I wanted to do a mix to kind of showcase that.
That's good.
And kind of show like what else is out there. Because, you know, even like with DJing and like whatever, it's a lot of people, you know, I'll see like online, like complain about stuff, about how things aren't, you know, so good, or things are horrible, or music sucks and all this stuff. And I mean, there's too much going on out there for me to just, you know, be negative. And
I hear that here all the time. Oh, I don't listen to new music. It's terrible. It's like,
yeah. I mean, if you, you know, just turn on the radio and that's your only reference to new music, I mean, of course it's going to be terrible, but there's so much other things going on. There's so many people, you know, like, you know, me, like yourself, that are all creating, you know, their own, you know, art, or not being, you know, being independent and creating their own.
Yeah.
And there's not a lot of avenues for it. It's not easy to find.
Yeah.
And so that was kind of the idea with that mix, was to kind of put this out there, because, you know, I see the work that he's doing and with the label of Record Breaking Music, and, you know, more people should know about it.
Yeah.
And so that's where I was coming
from.
That's
good.
Yeah.
That's good. You seem to have a good following. I like that you post your sets on SoundCloud. You can really like listen to it and kind of get, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like that's been great.
Get the idea behind it.
Exactly. And that's what I mean. Like, there's a lot of good things right now. So yeah, I mean, SoundCloud is great. You know, I've gotten, you know, followers from Japan and Russia, like all over. So, you know, it's been great.
I used to go to a lot of dance clubs, like in the late 80s, in the time of like New Order and when The Cure had those huge dance mixes and stuff like that. And I had a friend that's still a DJ now in Houston, this guy Michael DeGrace.
Okay.
And he was a guy there that he made me some mixes onto cassette, you know.
Nice.
Of his sets that were fucking awesome.
Nice.
I used to love listening to it. It was great listening to those things today. I'm glad that people can go on there and find it.
Yeah.
What's your connection to New Jack? Is it the New Jack Swing?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I love music, man. There's so many things I like. And I definitely think about music in like different genres and time periods. And so, you know, that's one of the ones that I definitely, you know, love, is the New Jack Swing era. You know, that was kind of like, that era was like when I was like about 12, you know, like becoming a teenager, getting my own taste in music. So, you know, one, you know, just had a big influence on me. And musically, I mean, they were doing, you know, some
it's
great
kind
stuff.
Of a shuffle, that beat, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely like a swing in terms of like, the 16th notes and stuff, but there definitely is like a little shuffle. And it was, you know, at the time it was totally breaking away from like adult contemporary R&B, which was very like, you know, safe and very adult, you know, in terms of like, you know, kind of in the 80s.
Like Anita Baker.
Exactly.
It was like at the same time as Anita Baker.
Yeah. And then here come, you know, these, you know, young people, you know, totally, you know, shaking up.
Who were the main guys then?
I mean, the main one I would say would be Teddy Riley. He was a producer. He produced a lot of the artists, you know, he produced Keith Sweat. He produced, I believe, like Johnny Gill, a group called Guy. And he was kind of like the main one that kind of brought, you know, that sound out. And then there was artists, you know, like Bobby Brown. A lot of those guys, even on the hip hop side, I mean, Heavy D was a big one. But yeah, it was just kind of like a whole new sound, you know, at the time. And it was totally just shaking things up. I think of too, like In Living Color, a lot of those folks were like, would perform on In Living Color when
the Fly Girls were dancing to New Jack Swing.
Like, you know, that was just a certain time period when it was just like a brand new, you know, thing that was going on.
Yeah. So what was, you were in El Paso at that time?
I was born in El Paso.
Okay.
And then I mostly grew up in the Panhandle, but I would spend all my summers in El Paso. So I was kind of like back and forth. And
where
when
in
I was
the Panhandle?
In a small town called Canyon, Texas.
Well, New Jack Swing was going on there.
Well, I mean, there was, it was on the radio. I mean, that was like, you know, the music. And then when I would go to El Paso, it would be with all of my cousins. That's what, you know, we were all into.
Right.
And, you know, we would, you know, I would tape the radio shows at night, you know, go to sleep because I couldn't stay up that late. And then in the morning I'd have, you know, cassette of, you know, the latest, you know, DJ mix of, you know, whoever was playing and, you know, all that stuff. So it was kind of like a little bit of both, you know, in terms of Canyon and El Paso.
What was you, did you, you obviously had an interest in music then. Did you have any idea you wanted to DJ or
No,
you just really liked music?
I just really liked it. It was just a big part of, you know, who I was at the time and, you know, having fun.
What were you going to do with your life?
I didn't know. Oh no, I think I thought I was gonna be like a pro basketball player or something at that point,
or maybe even football. Collection.
Yeah. Well, at that time, I didn't own any records.
Okay. So you were an athlete.
Yes, yeah. I attempted to be an athlete in junior high and high school and all that. Yeah, I played sports.
And what did you do after high school? Did you move out of?
Yeah, I moved from Canyon and I came to Austin. I came to school here at UT Austin. And
what were you majoring in?
I actually have a degree in social work. I have a bachelor's in social work. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
I like to see a well-rounded man.
Yeah.
And did you know then when you were at school?
You know, I had liked music and I had an interest in music, you know, all through, you know, high school and everything. But it wasn't really until I came to Austin and I saw... This is, you know, the early 2000s. A lot of the DJs that were here, and they were the ones that kind of like really piqued my curiosity and inspired me in a way to want to, you know, pursue DJing and want to learn the craft.
Like who?
It was DJ Mel, DJ Baby G.
I don't know.
Mel and Baby G used to spin a lot together back in the late 90s, early 2000s. I think they were both founders of the night that's still in existence, Nasties.
Yeah.
On Mondays.
Yeah.
So Baby G was also was with Mel there. And yeah, those two guys were the main ones. Like going out, you know, at that time and, you know, hearing, you know, these songs, you know, they would have two different songs, and they would, you know, mix it together and then seeing the reaction of people, you know, because... You know, you can, you know, go to a party and or you can just have, you know, your favorite songs and, you know, it's fun and you like to sing along to it and dance or whatever. But, you know, if you mix them the right way and you program them the right way and, you know, you do, you know, what DJs do, it just brings out more of a response and it's more powerful.
Yeah.
And that's what I was seeing these guys doing at the time. And I didn't really understand what was going on, but it just definitely captivated me.
Yeah. You wanted to be that, you know. I saw a guy around that time. I saw Fatboy Slim at the Austin Music Hall.
Oh wow!
Yeah. And I couldn't figure out, just from growing up seeing music and all that stuff, and I'd never really been to a show where the DJ was the guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. 'Cause
he was like in the middle of the place. It was like it was a scene.
For sure.
But I realized that that thing, how you dictate this party and where people are going.
Right.
You know, for the night. And
definitely.
You bring them up and you take them down in places. And it's like a journey.
Definitely.
How, I mean, do you ever fail? You know what I mean?
You know.
Do you ever get to where you're like, oh, fuck, I am totally ruining the night for everyone.
You know, sometimes, well, this is the way I think about it. Sometimes people don't want to go where I want to take them.
Yeah. I mean, I'm in a band, Skyrocket. It's a cover band, and we'll play parties, specific parties, and people will come out and dance, and I'll get up to sing a song, or someone will, and fucking, it is like, I literally, like, everyone leaves the dance floor.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, but that's, I mean, what happens to you when that happens?
At
least I've got six other people. I can go like, whoa.
Yeah, there's no one else for me to look to. Yeah, definitely the DJ's fault.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it doesn't really happen that often, man.
That's
it doesn't
good.
Really. And sometimes...
Did it at the beginning, like when you started
in the beginning,
out?
Yeah. You know, you kind of learn like, oh, okay. Like, you know, you think in your mind... Okay, let's try this, or let's do this song, or even not necessarily like let's do this song, like let's do like this kind of transition or whatever. Because sometimes it can just be like the transition. It's not even that the song is wrong. It's like how you went from one to another, or how you know you try to you know smooth it over, and yeah, you know you have to kind of learn. You know that's the thing is you know you have to you know pay your dues and you know and
like that, anything.
That's yes, and that's what I mean when you're asking earlier about like oh. Like, do you, you know, rehearse certain things? And for the most part, you know, it's all kind of based on experience and just, like, knowing the music. And then, you know, like, with Body Rock, you know, it's right. Like, I kind of already know my music. So it's like, you know, I can kind of see where things will go. But then, too, I mean, there's all different kinds of parties. I mean, there's times when people get together and, you know, there's those times, there's those crowds when people can only dance for like 10 minutes, you know, straight, and then they're going to take a break regardless of what song you put on.
But Body Rock is not that.
Body Rock is not that party.
That's why people are going there.
Yeah.
What about the Peligrosa?
It's the same. Yeah, the same thing.
So you're coming there, it's a workout, you're getting something out, and you're going to feel good.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so you would go see DJ Mel and at Nasty's and stuff, and then when did you get turntables?
In 2003, so it's been 10 years. I had just finished my studies at UT. I got my degree, and you know I was like, okay, I'm gonna do it. Yeah.
Out in the social working field?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I did that for a little bit, and then I was like, I'm not really into the social work thing, and then I was working for Apple for a couple of years.
That's good.
And all that time, you know, I was just...
Learning?
Practicing and learning, and, you know. And it took, I guess, about 5 years or so, because, I mean, you know, like... I was of the mentality, you know, was one, like, my peers were, like, one of my biggest, you know, things that I wanted to impress at that time.
Yeah.
You know, when you're starting out. And I wasn't going to go out and try to DJ at a party or a club if I wasn't ready to. And I knew that, you know, I sucked at the time. So, you know, at that moment, it was, like, you know, years of practicing and you know, developing, you know,
style. Did you ever do, like, you know, just straight up, like, wedding?
I never really did the mobile DJ thing. I mean, I've done some weddings.
do real DJs like is that not cool? Or you understand that that's a job and someone has to?
I
do
mean,
it?
For me personally, I understand that it's a job.
Yeah, and me too.
I mean, I don't you know have anything you know against it. And I mean, there's but yeah, I mean, there's oh, I would never you know like DJ a wedding. I mean, I've done some weddings and some of those, you know, have been great. Now, like, it's, you know, I kind of get to filter out and be like, hey, you understand what I do.
Right.
And
you want me to hire you. Right.
It's not just because they need someone to play music.
Yeah. They're not going to be like, yeah, play Van Halen.
Yeah. They're just like, hey, we want you to, you know, because we like what you do.
Yeah.
And it's like, sure.
That's pretty cool. And do you get hired for specific parties? That, like, do you book yourself or do you have
an agent? I book myself.
Okay.
Yeah.
To one
and there'll be, show. You know, like some bar owners or some local promoters, you know, that will reach out to me if there's something, you know, that they have in mind or you know, someone makes, you know, specific requests.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's all, you know, independent.
What was your first gig?
Your first real gig? Man, I don't really, it's hard to remember.
Was it like a friend? Like, oh, you've done all that
stuff?
Yeah,
I mean, the first ones, you know, were just like, hey, like a friend was having a house party. Yeah, you know, I have some speakers. You have, you know, turntables.
Yeah.
And, you know, it kind of started, you know, with those. Yeah, yeah, those are fun. You know, those were fun.
Yeah.
There were also, there was always usually cops involved back then, though.
Yeah.
So I don't really miss, you know, that. But I mean, just, you know, anytime you do something new, you know, there's, and you've started to do it for a while, you know, there's that certain kind of like when it's all new, like it's definitely exciting, you know. And those first, you know, early ones or, you know, the first times, you know, when, you know, you're getting some mixes right, you know, for, you know, a crowd and,
yeah,
it's like, whoa, you know.
What's like in music, like when you go with your first band, you finally get, you get like these little steps that you take where you're like, well, you know, we played through most of the songs without messing them up. You know what I mean? And then like, you're like, oh, we really own the songs. Wow, now we took it somewhere else. Like we've already got it down where we know what we're doing technically. Now we're able to move into this other realm of like magic, which I'm sure, and I've talked to tons of DJs that say the same thing, that that's you know,
definitely
they hit a place.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
and it feels good.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, so all those were fun, but then too, you know, that kind of leads to, you know, bigger,
yeah,
bigger events, bigger parties, you know, being better at your craft and all that stuff, you know. But yeah, it was fun.
Well, it seems like since last week when we were supposed to get together at first, now all of a sudden, like I opened the Chronicle, you won the thing. And then I went to Koba,
mm-hmm,
to eat dinner. And there was a poster with you on it. And I was like, it was my girlfriend. I was like, oh, I'm meeting that guy on Wednesday.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So you're working a lot. Like how much do you work? Much work,
I guess, on average about
3 or 4 days a week,
about 3 nights a week. I mean, there's been some weeks that are 5, but you know, on average about 3.
And what are the week. What are the, you do the Peligroso show, you do the Body Rock show, but mm-hmm, a DJ Chorizo Funk, that kind of is whatever you are feeling like. It could be, I know you mash everything together, but do you ever do specific, like, oh, I'm just going to do this kind of music, like you did with that cumbia mix? Or, you know, with a new Jack.
And you mean like in a, like for a show?
Yeah.
You know, I haven't been doing that as much. There is one other thing a regular thing that I do. It's the thing at Tacova.
Okay.
It's second Thursdays, and it's me, and I play, you know, mostly, you know, Afro-Latin stuff, sometimes some funk, but mostly Afro-Latin, and I have a live percussionist play congas along with me.
Oh, that's badass.
Yeah. And so it just kind of gives it a different feel in terms of like people hanging out and, you know, dancing and stuff. But that's the only, you know, and, you know, all of those kind of things are kind of have a specific kind of theme or right, a specific kind of vibe. When it comes to me, like just DJing in general, I feel like Austin kind of lacks a good like dance venue here, yeah, in town, like a good like dance club where people can know,
yeah,
like, okay, I can go here and I can dance, where people are there to definitely have a good time. And so I don't want to, like, I've tried to do, okay, I'm gonna do the specific theme, like just like a general night, and there's people there that are there for whatever reason, you know what I mean? And so, right, it doesn't translate as well.
Right.
There needs to be like, you know, a place where people, you know, are there to dance and they would be already, you know, receptive to it. I've been playing us at Volster on E6th, and that's, uh-huh, a lot of fun.
I love that place.
But yeah, I mean, that you know, you kind of have to keep it open. You can't just be like, oh, okay, I'm going to do, you know, like a 70s soul party there, and there's people there, you know, for, you know,
want to hear hip-hop.
They just want to hear whatever. So, yeah, you know, you kind of keep it broad and, you know, have everybody partying.
And you're able to do everything in a set, aren't you?
Bring a lot. In
a lot of
a
different
lot. Yeah.
styles of music.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, you know, that's... I'm, you know, I love so many different styles of music. I mean, I could, you know,
really
zone
shows.
In and do one.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, in general, like when you have a general crowd, you know, you kind of can't beat them over the head with something, you know, for too long.
Right.
And so it pays to be able to, you know, have a good knowledge of music and a variety and being able to mix it up to keep, you know, to keep it fresh. Because, you know, sometimes you'll see people and they've been dancing to, you know, six or seven songs in a row, and they might have all the same tempo, and then they just kind of start losing that excitement, you know, and it's like, okay.
Gotta shake it up.
You know, you gotta shake it up, you know.
So you're going to Houston. You're doing Billy Grosso on Friday, and then you're going to Houston
on Saturday.
Saturday.
Yeah.
On your own?
Yes.
When you travel, do you have to bring your turntables and everything?
Not all the time. And this time, the venue that I'm going to be at, they're going to have, I'm going to take my own mixer, but they'll have turntables there for me. So, you know, it won't be much. So I have to take.
I guess just now it dawned on me, like, if you were doing what you do with all the different kinds of music, that you'd want to have stuff at your reach. If this was all done on vinyl.
Yeah, that would be.
You'd have to take like an 18-wheeler of milk
crates. Well, I mean, I still do some vinyl sets. There's a party in San Antonio, an all vinyl party that I'll play, a couple of times a year, and you know, whenever I do vinyl sets, you definitely have to plan. You definitely, you know, like all the things that I kind of know of, I have to have them with me. You know what I mean? So I go through, and there's a whole process of, you know, for myself, of, you know, getting my crates ready and knowing what I have. And, you know, I definitely am, when it comes to music, very like organized. So like I'll have, you know, certain parts of the crate are like this BPM and other parts of the crate are this kind of records. And so like, it's kind of like I have my little portfolio, you know, like my music box, you know, with me already, you know, beforehand. And I know already what I have.
Right.
And then I go in the party and, you know, have different directions I can go, but I mean, I'm limited to, you know, those that I took, but I definitely, you know, will think about it beforehand.
Yeah.
Which is a lot of fun.
Yeah. It seems like it would be.
Yeah.
Yeah. I bet you gotta plan, because it would suck to be in the middle of that thing and you're used to having 2,000 records at your disposal.
Yeah.
But they're at home now.
Yeah.
You know, and you've got like, you know, 100 or however many, how many would you bring to a set?
You know, if I were to do like a 2-hour set, I mean, I could probably do, I always forget how much fit in like one of those like standard crates. I think it's like 70 records fit in one of those. So like 70 and then like another batch of 45s. So maybe like 100-150 records or
so. That's not bad.
Yeah. And because that's the thing is like whenever, I remember doing parties with people, like vinyl parties, and they would bring a ridiculous amount of records, you know, like 5 crates.
Yeah.
You know, and I would show up and I would only bring one. You know, it's because like
you kind of had an idea of what you were.
Yeah, like I want to show up and have an idea of what I'm going to bring and not just be like trying to look for records, you know, in 5 different crates. You know, that's like 300 records. I mean, by the time the next song ends, you know, I'm not going to be able to find that one that I was looking for. So whenever I do vinyl stuff, I definitely like go in and just have a set amount. And it's like, look, this is what I can work with. And, you know, I'm gonna roll with that.
Yeah. Do you have any big plans for the fall? Like, are you doing any parties for ACL or anything?
There might be something with ACL that hasn't been confirmed yet, but the thing I'm most excited about is going to be my birthday party, Body Rock, in October. It's actually going to be during ACL weekend. It's going to be October 4th. We're going to be at the Sahara Lounge, and we're going to have the Deep Madness Project and Bavu Blakes. They're also going to do a set. Awesome. And then...
when's your birthday?
My birthday is October 6th, but we're going to, you know, celebrate it on the 4th, the Friday.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I hope I'm in town.
Yeah, yeah, it's going to be good.
Yeah. Anything else that I should know? What's going on right now that you're listening to that's new that's come out? That's
new stuff.
That's exciting you.
You know, I've been digging a lot of the new soul music that's coming out. I don't like to say retro soul, but just because, you know, I think it's just soul music, but it's new. Myron and E is one of them. It's on Stone's Throw. There's this group. I believe they're called Mama is the name of the group. But they also do, they've been doing soul music. I love Charles Bradley. Got some, you know, outstanding stuff. On the other end of the spectrum, like brand new stuff, like new styles. There's so much. There's this producer. I don't know how you pronounce his name. I think it's KNX. But he's a beat producer, you know, straight up, you know, beats. And like there's a whole bunch of like crazy heady stuff going on, like really moody, like beat tapes and stuff that people are doing right now that I'm really, you know, digging that. Also like house music. There's some really good house music that I've been, you know, really into. And yeah, man, I mean, it's, you know, anything I can kind of get my hands on that if I'm feeling it, you know.
Do you go out a lot and see other DJs?
I don't.
Because you're working those nights.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I will here and there, but for the most part, I'm not out a lot if I'm not DJing.
Dead Mouse.
Okay.
No, I'm asking you.
Dead Mouse.
Do you stand on Dead Mouse?
It's
not your jam.
That's, you know, if the main fact, if it's like this, I mean, it's a gimmick, you know, like the main thing people know about him is that he wears a big ass mouse hat. And, you know, the music is kind of secondary. Like that totally goes against, you know, everything.
I like that too.
You know, I mean, it's just, and that goes with the EDM kind of explosion, you know, that's going on is, you know, a lot of things are kind of getting watered down and something like that is going to be what kind of stands out to, you know, like millions of people.
Yeah.
And there's not really, you know, much attention, you know, to the music. In terms of like him, like as a lot of those guys, like in terms of DJs, in terms of performance, they don't really, you know, in terms of a live performance, in terms
like
of like
they're
what
not
they're
really
doing,
playing
they're not of, really playing, yeah. You know, anything. A lot of that stuff, like they'll, you know, mix it like in a studio and, you know, have a set that they kind of hit play. And
I've heard that about him a lot.
Yeah, you know, and a lot of those, yeah. You know, people like that are on that level, that are on that style of music.
Yeah,
that's
I mean,
what
I
it's
guess
about.
They don't have a choice because it's they got to see the mouse head, and you know, you're probably
yeah.
Tired,
I mean, how much
heavy.
Are you going to do with a mouse head? You know, like you can't. It's hard to see. You know, the lights and the knobs. You know,
yeah.
Like and so yeah, I mean, to me, that kind of stuff is just like, oh God, really.
But. I guess it's those guys that are in the things like in the music festivals. I like that there's dance rooms in music festivals.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No, definitely. Uh-huh. Yeah. And I mean, you know, it would be great. And, you know, I mean, it might happen. But if the idea of what dance music is in terms of like festival stages, you know, were to expand and not just, you know, be something, you know, like that. You know what I mean? Where like all of that music is very, very similar. Like there's definitely
really
like,
is.
There's definitely like a formula to all of that stuff.
There's a
like,
formula.
Whenever I do like the open format stuff, like there really is no like it can be, you know, like some 80s. It can be something brand new. It could be, you mm-hmm. know, like a cumbia. It can be like Afrobeat. Like it's all these other things. And for myself and, you know, a lot of the people that, you know, enjoy my sets. That's what they enjoy. Like they don't want something very formulaic and, you know, this like all those
I mean,
songs
dun,
are just
dun, dun,
are
dun,
just the same
dun,
tempo.
Dun, 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 dun,
yeah. No, so there's this funny thing, like one of the biggest, you know, like online DJ websites where you can go and, you know, buy music. It's called I think it's Beatport. And there was some people that basically did like a mix of like the top 50 or top 100 songs that were on Beatport, but they only mixed like, you know, they only used like 5 second segments, you know, into like this one long, like 5 minute, you know, piece. And you hear it and it all sounds like you don't even know when one song ends and the other one, you know, begins.
Yeah, it seems like all the keyboard sounds are the same.
They're using the same
airy kind of like.
They're using the same, you know, pad sounds and plugins and all that stuff, and it's just, you know, and yeah, so yeah, that kind of stuff.
Do you ever remix other people's tunes?
I don't really do that much.
No,
I really don't.
Do you have an interest in doing that?
I do. You know, it's kind of like whenever I started DJing, you know, it took me a while to kind of figure out the turntables and what I was doing. Mm-hmm. And I kind of feel that way right now whenever it comes to like doing remixes and stuff. And sometimes I'll just be like, I'll just go back to the turntables.
Right.
You know, it's kind of that phase where, you know, it can be challenging. And sometimes I'm just like, let me just go back to, you know, what yeah. I'm already feel comfortable with.
Yeah.
But I need to just, you know, sit
what
down
about,
and
what about
and stay
making
with
beats?
It.
I mean, are you doing that at Body Rock Live? Beats
no,
for them to
no,
freestyle over? No,
no. I mean, I'll take different segments of songs and, you know, manipulate in terms of live DJing, but I'm not like making, you know, like a live beat.
Okay.
So I can, you know, like reimagine, you know, I mean, I can hear, you know, a one bar loop of, you know, whatever song and reimagine that, you know, on the turntables. And then they'll be, you know, yeah. on the mic and emceeing and rapping and stuff.
Those guys love you so much.
Yeah,
like they were
yeah,
on
no,
here
great.
Like a month ago or something, and they just like they were the guys that turned me on to you. They were
oh,
like,
great.
Oh, you got to get him on. He's great.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
yeah. No, they're awesome. Yeah, yeah, they're awesome. Yeah, since they moved here, you know, we hit it off, and it was I think a dinner party. They've been here like a couple weeks.
Yeah,
And that was pretty much, you know, how we started collaborating.
I'm going to be out of town this weekend. I'm actually in Houston on Friday.
Okay.
And I'm somewhere else on Saturday in between there. But I want to come see a Peligroso.
Peligrosa. Yes, yes.
Is it Peligrosa or Peligrosa?
Peligrosa.
Peligrosa.
It's third Fridays. We usually take a break, or we probably will take a break in the spring. So probably, you know, you have a couple left. Probably until December might be like the last one, until like after South By.
Wow. Because you got so many people, probably.
Yeah, well, and then too, I mean, you know, it's kind of, we've been doing that Empire, which is across from Holy Mountain on 7th. And so, you know, that back patio, you know, it's, you know, it gets cold in Austin in January and February. And then, you know, South By takes up, you know, literally, you know, for a lot of folks, like a month and a half or so. And people aren't going to really, you know, feel like partying.
You did
know,
you do a lot this last South By?
I did. I did a good amount. Not too much, but I did definitely did a good amount of stuff. I did some fun things.
Good.
Yeah.
You're going
to... I got to open for one of my, or two of my DJ idols, DJ Retmatic. He's from LA, and then DJ Shortcut. He's in the Bay Area, but they were, you know, big influences on me. And they were here in town. And there was also like a big 45 event called the 45 Sessions, where it's DJs, you know, just all using 45s, and I did a set there.
You have a mailing list, right?
Yes.
Because that would be a good thing to get on.
Yeah,
you know,
djchorizofunk.com, and there's a link to
the mailing bio. List.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just took that out of it. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah, it's all right there.
djchorizofunk.com. Is there anything else that people should know?
You know, keep checking the SoundCloud. I just did a Otis Redding
mix. Yeah, I like that.
I think I'm going to make a series out of that where I kind of just pay tribute to, you know, some of my, you know, some of my favorites.
Some of the guys.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, just stay tuned for more music.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming by.
Hey, thank you.
And congratulations on Best of Austin Critics' Choice.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Congratulations.
Thanks.
Thank you. All right. DJ Chorizo Funk, he's a great, great DJ. I've been listening to his sets again today. I did that interview yesterday. I'm listening to him again today. I can't stop listening to him. I love listening to him. So go out there, check out his SoundCloud page. I guarantee you will not be disappointed. And I signed up on his email list, so I can know when he's doing stuff. Let's get out there, check him out. I'll be there on October 4th. No Skyrocket gig that night. We're free. I'm going to go with my girlfriend. We're going to go to the DJ Chorizo Funk Riders Against the Storm Body Rock. Yeah, do that. You know what you can do also, if you're having a party, you could play one of those SoundCloud sets of his. They're like an hour long, a little over an hour sometimes. Play them back to back. That will get your party going. Because some of them are really chill and really laid back. All right? I love DJ Chorizo Funk. Great guy. I could call him by his regular name. I don't know if I should put it out there, though. Just so you guys know, though, I do know it. All right. Hey, thank you. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. All right. If you don't have the iTunes or some reason, you can get it on your phone on the Stitcher app. Check it out. Look us up on Stitcher. And it's a free app, and it streams podcasts to your phone. Not just our show, but 5,000 other shows, over 5,000. Do it. Do it up. Follow me on Twitter at Johnny Gowdy. Follow me on Instagram at Johnny Gowdy. Like our Facebook page, How Did I Get Here? And here's some more of Buena Vista Social Club. Get out there and listen to some DJ Chorizo Funk. Get down.